This is Lorena Fanning, reporting for the Hennepin County Library. Today, February 3rd, 1974, Ms. Eloise Westman and I are visiting with Ms. Ann Hall in her home medical hall, which is one of Hennepin County's historic landmarks. But medical hall was not your original family home, Ms. Ann, which is called how you came to it.
No, I have had the good country service twice in my life. We lived down near Swan Point on Swan Creek for years and years, part of the original grant to one member of my, one branch of my family. But where were then? Confiscated that farm. About 150 acres with an old house built in 1730 was owned by my uncle. Well, its name had been Benjamin Church, but in revolutionary times, one of the halls in my ancestors and one of the halls. Had told him the same measurement to Johnny how it was going to go. My ancestor, the whole ancestor, had changed the name to Belvedere because that was the name that the companion in the Revolutionary War had used in his home. And so, that home is where I live. In some of the places, I don't remember. Until World War II, confiscated Benjamin Stewart, the original name of Belvedere, as it was called, and we've called it this day, or whatever you say. World War II, confiscated that, and there was 21 days gone. I was told for one story that we had to move bag and baggage. The Rob and I walked around, and we found we had things like spinach leaves and ox yolks and feathered birds. And we had no idea that it was a grand relation that we'd been down the river for many, many generations of people. And the only movement that we reached was through the hole. In the end, the government was pretty much.
We wanted to identify the whole family, so start with the first one and work down to Benjamin Stewart. The first child came to Hamilton County. I could ask you what the world, I don't think he would be interested in that. Well, I don't know what hole was coming to Hamilton County, but what comes from the southern Maryland. Up to Hennepin County. There's John Hook, who I looked him up at the Maryland Historical Society, and I found that he owned 9,000 acres. How he owned it, I don't know. He had some big grants, but a great many of the pieces that he added to his acres. When inventors people would come over, and we didn't have a government, 160 acres provided by school and built a cabin. And usually, we didn't do it, they were too lazy. And so he was at his resort to the town at the time of the school, so that was more than that. And John Hill added to his acres that way. And he lived at the there are two things. One is called the Cranberry, and one is called Cranberry Hall. And his place is called the Cranberry. And Karen Mason's family was the other Cranberry. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it wrong. But the Cranberry that my grandfather had is an old long house that he built. Another place is the piece of shit. And then they all had 12 to 15 children. Lauren died because some of them known three or four of them known family, of course. So you know the most of two and most of died. And again, his grandson had owned practically all the land
goes in the Holy Tower. The picture is a very old, it's a very good picture. It goes about 8 miles, the house in the Holy Tower. And it was you know, it's kind of thrown out of my mind, and when we were showing the picture of it, it was another large house, and it was empty. Now, this is, I saw it many times at the trial of this boy, and he was all along the mallet on the mallet side of the Churchill Bay. And he looked across the mallet. The mallet wasn't very narrow down there, I could say, yeah, 20 holes to me. And then, one great grandson married a guy who owned Belvedere, because his son owned Belvedere had guys named on it. So she was a rich guy married John Sidney Hall, who was John Hall's great grandson. I had it all written down in the tree, and I could do my actions.
Thank you.
And my father said, "Let's look at it." But my father never had so much trouble in his life that he was shutting off when I told him this. He said, "The government was extremely nice in the end. We were allowed to say, you know, I'm the person. Everyone that I get in, notice, not just the government. Everything is going to be belong to the government, even the strawberries." And then finally, we moved actually the day before New Year.
What year was that?
49. It was a really rough day. And we got out. And well, everything up there, most of our new buildings, we built them above a building here, like up the walls and the two houses, and so on. We were bought from there to be up, so the apartment was really just going on. And then we just had, I don't know if you don't tell this in case, but we did have a funny time. I said, "Tell me where, are you going to tell the house there?" And if not, then I guess it. So, "Oh, yes, it could be all good and it's gone, and you will get the airfield." And I said, "Tell me, text it, don't you want, like to fix it?" Something like the basement in the bathroom and the electric fixtures, so the fixtures were, and some doors. He said, "Tell me, you've got any new electric." Yeah, we immediately proceeded to get a carpenter who was doing this house to pull down the electric and all the ways you can see in the other room. And all the men had gone first, he said, "Right?" And he had an old truck on pickup. Or this guy in the building, of course, he didn't have a pickup. And he got this directly telephone. "You hear this to where this man in Harvard here, you are stealing them in time." So I left some food early and I got down there and I said, "I will send it. Anything I wanted to take, that I could take any phone building, I can take anything I know. You go to the mission, there was a colonel of the civilians, and how many of the civilian things." He said, "But you didn't stipulate." I said, "I didn't stipulate. You and I talked about it and you told me what to do." He said, "Why did you stipulate? Stipulate is that I stipulate this and the government stipulate this, they should be signed." So in the law, I said, "I'm not in touch with them anymore. I don't want to do the Pearl Harbor. You should go out to Pearl Harbor." I said, "I can't fight anymore. I can't argue anymore. I just, you have to take your son to me. Now, what do you want? You argue about the price, you see." He said, "They're starting with a very low offer." And then we just got halfway to my idea for this just yet. And so finally, he said, "Well, look how I told you that. We really are related down the house, and we don't want any of those local trees you cut down. We don't want any of the fence trees. How would you say that if we just said we sold them to you, and we said we had enough?" So I said, "That's fine for me, isn't it?" So we were paid $40,000, less than 100. And we bought this one, the
furniture. Well, then, this house still has some of the original wallpaper out in the hall.
Yes. Don't you know you got to look out for the
wall? Well, I shouldn't, but could we describe it a little bit and know from that something about
the wall? Well, there's a great story about the ownership of the wall. Because it's a real war, and the people are wearing tough hats. Now, the dungeon is not going to face the Revolutionary War, but this house was not built in Revolutionary times. It wasn't built until 1800. And so I don't know. I think, from what I talked to Les Williams, long before she died, but she was very clear about telling the things, and I talked to two of her. The descendants of the Archies. And those things were put on in honor of Lafayette. When he returned to America, to those essentially of the church, and no one knows that the 19-year-old boy was performing Doctors of Dawn, which he came down, well, you know, the past, I was a year old, but what's the name of that thing that's gone away?
And we have
follow his own sons, and then overturn other young men who studied medicine, under this. And the archaeological society didn't really go into the situation. He looked at all the text records and the exact measurements of the experiment, of the measures he had. So the question was issued in Germany, that they wrote, is that wrong? Well, the only thing that was there in the garage in that home, I could see the outline of the foundation. So about 2 years ago, when a building had to dig it up, excavate it, and see if it was the right direction, it seemed to lift them up right, and it was exactly what the text was. Way back to the very old days. So he had this back before he built a big house, big part of the house. And it was exactly right in the city. And it goes and goes and goes and goes. It's so steep that I can't get there anymore. But what they were hoping to find was human bones, old medical instruments, and something that was found in the city.
So they, what did they find?
Yeah.
Did they find anything?
They really didn't find anything except a little bit of broken sand. They found that.
The outlines of the
bones. They dug all the outlines up. So they got the dress, they only touched the other wall to show what it did. And, but the actual house, now the only person that disagrees with the date of the building is what Christian says, is what John Hopkins let him say, it's what University of Pennsylvania said, so they've got long sentences on John Hopkins. The only person that disagrees with the date of the building, a good part of the house, was Dean at the University of Pennsylvania, and I can see all that wrong. What is this guy? Well, Harrison and Stephen, one woman who was working with us, and imagine the motives and the animals, how deep everything was, and she's over there from 1820 to 1840. And I don't think all the other people could be wrong doing that. Well, that's not an element. And he was away from home a great deal at the time. And this how you say the little father, and this little father was much older than my father. My father was born in 1860. So I think Mr. Williams, I remember he took me home that day, like he wanted to show me some of the skeletons around. I mean, never went out of an iron work because the old man didn't, but I remember. But he was most interesting. And he was the first 10 years, I think, older than his father. So he was born probably around 1850. And nobody in the Oxford family had the slightest idea who this very loving young man is.
Oh.
He's a great joke in my
ear.
I'll be honest.
Who came to the question? Who came to the question?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Now, Leon, yeah. So Leon to Lewis, so he was a descendant. He was a descendant of John Austin. I don't remember who reflected to him. But he was very generous and always loved to me. And then the grandson, and not the grandson, as you know, I had the privilege to him.
Please turn to the other side.
I'm going to do it for you. I said, you both like it, you're curious if you did. You can't do that. But I borrow it from you for my lifetime. So it's stuck on the back of it, and I have my little belongs to certain
stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks, Catherine.
Now, what else did you like to do? I don't even know what the question
is. What? John.
Yes, I think really it is
something that was
raised in February. I think it was
actually
a dinner party at least. Father's been a Frenchman and Saturday morning. But he was called John Dyer, and he was also a veteran in the Supreme Court. But, and my cousin, Dick Townsend, I don't think it's a very good picture. I don't think anybody in this country looks like a but in a way, this character looks very much like the top part of her face, his eyebrows and his eyes and his nose and stuff like that. Was your mother's family a Howard? No, mother was a Catholic, and her parents, my grandfather was a minister, and the come from the same family. And so they had a relationship with their relations. John Dyer married a daughter, and then they found out the parents, and the parents became married to the
young man. You said one time you were telling me about a preacher and his style was to preach for an hour, and somebody held up a rock to stop him. Who was that?
Well, the person that held up a rock was Mr. Johnny Michael. And the Michael family down there they had land, and they also had a grocery store. We ran the grocery store, that's the beautiful Bobby store. And it was a very small town. I came in to buy one of those big drinks, because we always made a two for a cover instead of one. And so he was very popular with the children. But he went, and he was one of the best contributors in the institution. So to have, for my grandfather, looked on every contribution he paid. And most people paid a couple of tickets to the minister, or a bag of honey, or something like that. They didn't have much money. But Mr. Michael always gave $10. That seemed very good. My grandfather couldn't make up for $5. My grandfather country, I had a school, you know, the door that it actually has down at the city. It's a beautiful little thing, very strong, but it's lovely. She got school with her.
Now, this was your mother's father?
Yes. Very much older than my grandmother country, because he had to come down and pick that foot, born with the parents. He lived in a little brick house, as an apparent station, And when the railroad, the company made the railroad train through, they wanted to buy land for the station and the railroad. And the railroad was my grandfather and Mr. Penn. And so we'd like to buy some land for the railroad. He said, I'm not going to sell it to you, but I'll give it to you if you want to just as close as you possibly can to my port. Because I want to sit on this boat as well. And clearly, they didn't want to sell it because of the cost. The price of that. So they asked him by name of the station out there, and they gave him through his lifetime for him and his family, passes any place to the way they managed to go. So.
And so did you ever find Andy and I have down here?
No, I found that we found this bushes that was down on the 26th, and it looked like that before World War I. And unfortunately, we moved in such a hurry that we forgot to explore this huge bunch of animals up in the attic. And we intended to go back and get them, but we never did. We never saw. But I never found any on this place. The Susquehanna Indians, mostly just by the waterway, they lived in Pennsylvania, and they followed the water down to get the fishing and the herring and the sand. And then we usually went back to hundreds of square hundreds of farther in Pennsylvania. All I had to do was to drive a field called John Cook everywhere, which was called Sidney Park, the son of his wife and my father, and last December I gave him the giant to the family. To Mr. Williams. Did you ever meet Mr. Williams?
Yes, I know. That's about all.
Well, he's one of the most oldest line of stories on the detective. To be a person, you really found some wonderful things. I had a 15 months of correspondence with him because he said, you're the first person I've met for a long time to tell me John Cook. I hear that the century is difficult to John Cook. When he described the century, as it was called John Cook, and I asked him, I said, it doesn't look like the century to tell us about the same shape, but its colors are much more like the rainbow, much, much darker. He said, that's what I've always been told. Now you're making a fact this morning, and then you go on and tell me the judge that he married under Edward Hall, who lived at Sandy Hall. He married one of his daughters. So he's somewhere living.
Is Edward Hall still alive?
Yes, he is. I don't know if he's still alive. He's married. Somebody in the line was talking to the new some of the old inhabitants, so that's part of the decision.
I think there were 3 miles of spanning the bush decoration.
Mm-hmm.
You know the things they were that they related to you?
Mm-hmm. Of course. And I think it was after
that. I don't remember, but they were your
little group.
This is about the Parker ladies at Robert.
Well, there had been a school run by Nathaniel Giles Grover, who was my grandmother Carson, and had 4 sisters. And they ran a school. They had a school up on the hill, above Rock Run. And it was where we learned manners and enjoyed it and prayer and things like that. And the school caught on fire and burned up. So we all moved to Baltimore. Why they went to Baltimore, I don't know, unless it's a relation down there. But they continually went back and forth to the Miss Carter, who lived within 53 miles of them. And those letters are still standing. And Miss Carter lent me the book of letters once. And I went around before I was drawing the Bank of England book, and I was so very awful things that happened to me. But
you have some
Well, I don't know whether it's a misprint. I don't have the letters from my daughter, who was Nathaniel Dodd's daughter. I guess that is maybe their father, and that's what we're discussing. But the Miss Crawfords were very old. They were more my mother's early. I don't explain what they were living. I don't know that you have, but I tell you they're all tutors in the industry. Because they were so interested in somebody sitting in the industry in some back number. I've never seen them in the industry. But the research is interesting.
About what place where it has been, it's kind of been memorable.
Well, so I first did it without the Civil War, but I really don't know. I didn't like to be
really in 1990.
Well, I think they were a little old then. Yeah. But on the each one, they started with two and one mother, all four of them got married. I thought it must have been very young. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all married, but I was I know you have one.
Does he know any of them and people who run that Curtis school? The Curtis school down there in South, and did you know any of those people?
The Curtis school. But
you didn't know about them.
I don't know. Well, it was something like this, it was that. Well, we put on the Brentford house there in the Boston, and then I had a daughter, and daughter was the teacher that teach them at home and had a school and then invite everyone who I used to come. But it sounded like the same kind of a school as the up here in New York. She was in the some of the conservation school. I don't know, but she described going with a pony down and meeting somebody else to go and to come home. So I don't know, don't remember.
Well, the mention of the ponies reminds me about what ponies. Doesn't Dorothy raise ponies here?
Dorothy and I raised chickens. And then we also raised horses and so we could retire the oh, we want to have 12 horses here. Because all I do is just they were two sizes raised here.
How did you manage to do that and keep in Baltimore for some time?
Well, I always had a good farm that was interesting in animals. And it's explained, and you know you can rest from these. You have to do it in the to go under. When Harry had my Australian in his door 3 years, didn't he have some shed that he could run in?
Well, but it was only when I was gone.
Oh, yeah.
I had no water except for my pipe.
Oh,
and as soon as it was freezing, I'd have to go home.
Yeah. Well, he did it. I could sell these coats. I could sell the new coat for $300. And I didn't hesitate to ask the little 4 months-old girl for $400 to $800. And people went crazy about selling.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of young people would tell me to be very fancy. We didn't believe in making our second fancy because we really needed something to keep it very simple. Now we don't have a step and we don't know what they should pay us or what they ask their payers to learn not to do that. But we have to do a lot of training for them because we have to be able to step and live away from these things. This is all the time.